We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks from KCSN, which features three shows each week in Border War, hosted by former Jayhawks guard Jeff Hawkins and Mizzou forward Jarrett Sutton. Ain't No Seats with Ryan Reinhart, Anthony Bax, and Braden Turner. And Booth Review, covering Jayhawks football with Kent Swanson and weekly special guests. Make sure to hit that follow button so you don't miss anything. Stay up to date on all things KU with KCSN. And now, the latest on the Kansas Jayhawks.
All right, boys. Going live here. Haven't done this in a while, but we had to. That was just vintage, yourself, street fight, ugly, disgusting basketball that the Kansas Jayhawks always find a way to win in February. We now sit firmly, it feels, in the driver's seat to not only win the Big 12, but AB, you've been saying this for the last couple of weeks, but like the number one overall seed is starting to look really good. It is starting to look really good. And
what did I tell you last episode, Rye? What did I tell you? We don't get swept by Baylor. We don't get swept by anyone. We don't lose at home. We beat those two, and we still have that loss in our back pocket that I was saying. Number one seed's very much in the picture. Overall seed.
Top of the 12. Yourself
simply does not get swept by teams unless it's a COVID year or it's a game that doesn't matter because he's already taking care of business in the Big 12. So people forget that. Simply doesn't get swept. So what a win. We have some people filling in. Who knows? I don't know how to tell. What up, Braden? Shout out. He's in here.
Love him.
So we'll talk, I don't know, just recap that game. We can kind of touch on Baylor here in a little bit too, but yeah, just an extremely fun three-day stretch here. And I joked with AB last pod that like the script of every Kansas basketball season is playing out as it always does. You struggle a little bit in January, early February, and then all of a sudden the switch just gets flipped and things couldn't be going better and it feels good. So where do we start with tonight? You know, another banana land stat. We are still undefeated when DeJuan Harris scores more than 3 points. I think he got six tonight, but the game was over when he got that fourth point. So shout out to DeJuan.
Yeah, he had 6, 5, and 8, and he was so good defensively down the stretch. There was a possession TCU had late where it was tight, and they were trying to as hard as they could to get the ball to Mike Miles, who was preseason Big 12 Player of the Year, and we know how good he is. And he could hardly even get the ball. Then he drove KJ, slid over. It was a huge stop. They were so good defensively down the stretch, and they were just so good defensively the whole night. TCU, they're coming off a 100-point performance on Saturday, and KU held them to 30% from the field. Like, that's absurd. Bill Self is the best at adjusting. Like we said, he's been swept twice in his career at KU. TCU gave it to KU at the field house. I didn't even watch a second of the game. I think the Chiefs played that day at Arrowhead in a playoff game, so I didn't even get to watch it, but it was never really close. I think KU tried to make a run in the first half, but TCU killed KU at the field house. That never happens. They go into Fort Worth tonight, and it felt like they controlled the entire game. Like, we were talking about, I think Frayn was talking about late how it felt like KU was up 12, and I kind of felt the same way. Well, he was bizarre. He was bizarre tonight, but I don't think TCU led at any point in the second half, and it just felt like we could pull away. We got a ton of clutch stops. They were so good defensively, like I said, but yeah, DeJuan was great. Obviously a ton of good looks, through lobs to KJ, Ernest, who was good. We'll talk about him. Grady hit a bunch of big shots. I thought McCullough was pretty good.
McCullough. Like that's so I,
it's gotta be accent, right? It's gotta be
Texas Tech buddy that claims that Texas Tech fans get mad at Fran for the same reason that Fran claimed it's because he's from New York or whatever. McCullough. So whatever. I feel like it's like, you remember when Spee was here and you know, he would like everyone said Mekhi Luke, and he'd be like Mekhi Luke. And it was like he did that on purpose to be like, hey guys, I'm better at pronouncing his name than you.
He and loves the McCullough, foreign players.
Yeah, and the McCullough thing seems similar. Like he knows it's bothering us, and he's just like, can't help it. I'm a New Yorker, man. I just can't help it.
Like you just can't add the R to the end of McCullough. Like you can't just say McCullough. He's been in the Big 12. McCullough's been in the Big 12 for 10 years, it feels like. And Fran's obviously a Big 12 guy, and he just can't say his last name for like 8 years now. But I don't know if you guys had noticed it like earlier in the year, but I didn't notice it until tonight when someone tweeted it. And then I heard it, and I thought Fran was fucking around. But obviously he's dead serious. But, yeah, I thought McCullough was really good down the stretch too. He got that jump ball. He had a couple tough buckets. Missed a couple clutch free throws, and Jay Will almost gave us all a stroke, heart attack when he missed the front end when the announcer called ball game with 25 seconds left and we're up by three going to the free throw line for a 1-1, which really pissed me off. Like, I think he had money on TCU and was trying to reverse jinx it or something. But just the person – we've talked about the personnel and how good this team could be defensively just with KJ, DeJuan, Kevin McCullough. And they talked – Fran talked about how this team's not as talented, but they want it just as bad as last year. And I'd never really thought of this team like that, but they do play so hard every night. And
it felt like they wanted it more tonight.
I don't know if you guys felt that way, but it felt like KU wanted it more on the road in someone else's house.
I make jokes about Kevin McCullough. I mean, the guy, he does some funny things on the basketball court, but like you give me in the final 5 minutes of any game in college basketball, this may sound absurd, but like he's a dude, like you can get a big list of players out there and you're going to want Kevin McCullough on the court for you in the final couple minutes of a game. Cause the dude just makes plays, whether it's defensively, whether it's like an animal, he's had huge buckets this year too. And that's not even his like main thing. He always gets the important rebound, always gets the important stop. He's just a gamer. It's not always pretty getting there, but in the final couple minutes, when you have DeJuan Harris, Jalen Wilson, and Kevin McCullough on your team, like, I feel great about it. And those guys are just gamers. They've won so many close games together now. Jalen and DeJuan have won even more. It's just great to see this team coming into form just like we did last year, right? This was the part of the year last year where you started to see things click. We just started, and you said it, B-Turn, we just played harder than those guys. And it's not like TCU is not a team that plays hard. Like, they play hard. And so for us to go in and just pretty much – you know, out physical them, and they're a big old team. Eddie Lampkin, I don't feel like Eddie Lampkin really did anything tonight. Clanked a bunch of free throws and had a one big dunk and camped in the lane other than that. But I don't know. It's crazy how hard this team plays.
And from the jump, the announcers were talking about just the size difference and just the length, the athleticism, and KU's guards were so good just on the glass, giving us extra possessions. Them one and done on the offensive end. I mean, Jay Will wasn't good. He forced a lot, but he had 13 boards. McCullough had 7 boards. DeJuan had 5. Grady had 6. So our guard, we ended up with 48 rebounds, which is absurd. Our biggest guy, obviously 6'7". We talked about that all year, but our guards, we said it all year, they're really good on the glass and they just want it. They play hard. Like, Kevin McCullough transferred so he can win a national title. He's been there. Tech played a national title game. These guys played in huge buildings, big environments, obviously the Final Four last year. So they just, KU wants it more. And I think obviously that showed on Saturday too. We'll talk about Baylor probably later, but down 16 or whatever they were at one point and 17 and they 40-23 or whatever, and they end up battling back, win by 16, which describes Allen Fieldhouse a lot. But I'm really impressed with that win tonight because they couldn't score. Jay Will had what? 5 points, 7 points. I didn't even see, but yeah, they find a way. They found a way to beat Texas when he had 2 points. And then tonight where he makes like two shots from the floor, misses a front end late, and they find a way to beat a really good team who punked them at home.
It's a huge relief to know that we can beat good teams when Jalen struggles. Cause like that was, I think that was the fear we all saw coming. Like, throughout the year, it was like, okay, yeah, this team's fun. They can be exciting. But if Jalen's not on in March, if Jalen has a bad game against a nine seed, you can lose. Whereas now, I feel pretty good that the rest of this team could go out and get it done. Wanted to share a fun little stat I just read. Did not realize this live because while Fran said it felt like a 12-point game, I did not think that at all. It felt like insane. An absolute – I mean, did it not feel like a TCU dagger was coming? Like, AB, you joked about the Mike Miles shot.
Fran kind of – it felt like Fran was slobbing on us tonight. No, he was loving the Hawks.
Yeah, he was. But some of the things he said, I mean, the Mike Miles Mahomes thing twice, I mean, just literally upset. Like, I spent the first 10 minutes of the game freaking out about how he did that.
We beat Patrick Mahomes at his own house on the road.
Very, very frustrating. Right. But
– yeah, go ahead.
What?
I forgot to tell the stat, but go ahead. I like where you're going.
No, but the Fran thing late in the game, if he meant to say that it feels like KU should be up 12, I would get that 100% because it did kind of feel like there were chances to pull away. But to say when TCU has the ball with a minute and a half left on four that it feels like we're up 12, I was on the edge of my seat. I wasn't confident they were going to win until they got that last stop.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But I guess so. This stat I was going to read from Kevin Flaherty, he said TCU went without a field goal for the final 4 minutes, 19 seconds and made just one of its last 10, which
because we didn't really score down the stretch either.
Maybe that's why Fran felt that way. Cause like we just were locking them up, but we weren't coming down and answering. Like B-Turn, you tweeted it or you texted about it. Like Grady Dick, that felt like a dagger for sure.
I stood up with the
that was a classic like hand in the air three where you're just ready to explode. And
when obviously we feel insanely good when Grady pulls from three, but when he's wide open like that. But yeah, I remember it was 60-55 with like 4 minutes left. I was like, if we can just get a couple buckets, we'll be all right because I knew defensively we'd get stops. We did it all night. But yeah, it was 60-55 and I don't think we made a shot either, did we? Because it ended up being 63-58. I think KJ made the second. I knew he wasn't going to make both from the line with his line drive free throws, but he made the second. And then Kevin McCuller hit the front end with like a second left. So I don't know if I don't know if KU made a field goal in the last 4 minutes because it was 60-55. I think we made three free throws. And then
was DeJuan's on that layup he had, or was that?
That was like right after Duggan came in, wasn't it? Which we can talk about. Speaking too, because of that, he came in and he went on the fastest 5-0 run in the history of basketball.
I see a rando just running down the sideline. Just
I thought it was like a YouTube star doing like a stunt. I'm
same.
Like,
what? I thought it was a streaker also, for a second.
Breaking news: he threw on that Funky Town shirt, and I love this. If it's true, from Mike Vernon, shout out our guy Hearings. KU guys are wearing the Funky Town t-shirts in the locker. Currently,
hell yeah,
which
love to hear it.
I love that. That's like when we went into Ames in 2014 or whenever 2013 with Elijah, and that crowd lost their mind. Weatherwax tried to fight self, and I remember the fans were throwing stuff at the team, and like Jamari Traylor like picked up all the little pom poms and stuff and just started celebrating with it. It's an all time flex to just take someone's shirt or pom poms and celebrate right in their face. So, shout out to our guys there.
Can I talk more defense real quick while we're on it? Okay, absolutely. So tonight, and it felt like the second half for Baylor, we weren't switching all five. And they talked about it during the broadcast a little bit. Do you think that's more like what we're going to do the rest of the year or just like a matchup thing? Because it would make sense if Bill's like, obviously our best defense is having McCuller and DeJuan just lock up the top two options on another team. But to do that for 40 games feels kind of insane for two guys that play 36 minutes a night. So, like, is it, like, now pedal to the metal and we're going to just fucking guard like crazy and we're going to be a top 10 KenPom defense in, like, a week and a half?
That's what I've always kind of felt about this team. I still feel like we had a very next gear we could go to defensively because you have DeJuan and McCuller together. But, like, KJ, great defender. Even Jalen, like, he's not the best defender, but he's played in huge moments. Yeah. Like, the dude's he's good enough to play a ton of minutes.
He's long enough. He and Grady are, like, long enough to be able to hold their own. I said what I said, Turner.
So to answer your question, like, yeah, I mean, Bill Self's never been a guy to really worry too much about, like, wearing guys down. Like, he will ride you till the absolute max. So, yeah, we will.
Woody now.
I will assume that we'll continue to do that because it's definitely working. But, okay, I'm trying to just read quotes here. We got some Bill Self.
I want to read off some stats or a tweet from our boy Adam Sullivan. Listens to the pod. We love him. He's always tweeting out fire. But we're 21-0 this year when we're leading with 5 minutes to go in the game, which is crazy because obviously they've been in a ton of tight games. The Big 12's elite. There's probably 8 tourney teams, maybe more. Who knows? But obviously we've been in a lot of tight ones. And then Bill Self, 205-2 when holding teams under 60.
Stupid, dude.
205-2, which, yeah, you hold a team under 60, you obviously have a good chance to win. But there's going to be nights where you struggle to score, like on the road or something. But 205-2.
By the way, I think one of those losses, the 205-2, was at Villanova when we lost like 56-55 to like a top 10 Villanova team. Like, for one of those two losses to be in just a juggernaut game against Villanova is insane. So that's nuts. I love crazy Bill Self stats. And like, I was going to say this the other day, there feels like you're starting to see more and more graphics come out where it's like Bill Self, John Wooden. Like, Bill Self is doing those types of things. Like, dude, the conference streak. I think one of the stats was top 10 wins. He's got some absurd record doing that. Like, obviously Bill Self has not put together the resume that John Wooden has, but it's crazy how many times he's spoken in the same stat or sentence.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
So let's talk about Fran again for a second, because I'm getting to Bill Self. But at one point in the game, I think there was probably 5-10 minutes left. He said, I really think this is Bill Self's best coaching job, which I think I've heard that from him 5 or 10 times. So I immediately rolled my eyes. And then I was like, dude, I really think this is. Because you lose 2 first-rounders, you lose Dave, you lose Remy. So that's your top 3 scorers, 4 of your top 5.
70% of our scoring, right? Mm-hmm.
And then that's DeJuan, obviously DeJuan, we know who he is. He's elite defensively, but the strides he's made as a point guard this year just speaks volumes to Bill Self and the way he develops guys. KJ Adams, we weren't sure about. AB was sure about him, loves him almost as much as Mike Boynton. Well, but well. KJ, the strides he's made – him, DeJuan, obviously Kevin McCullough, solid. Jay Will, we knew he would score, but Bill said he would have to be an All-American type guy. That's exactly what he's been. Every time we need guys to be that good, they end up being that good. that shows you how good Bill Self is. He's one of the best coaches ever, dude. I don't give a shit. He's the best right now. Obviously, he needs more titles to be in the convo, but he's one of the best coaches I've ever seen. Just adjusting, calling plays out of timeouts, getting guys to buy in. Dude,
I don't want to get on a Bill Self tangent, but like I was thinking this today. If we repeat and he wins a natty this year, I'm ready to call him a top three coach of all time.
What if he like, just
Wooden, Self, and who? Who's the third? Like I think he passes
your
Roy.
Boy,
Coach K.
He's not. Yeah, that guy.
Oh yeah, yeah, my bad. Yeah, whatever. Wooden, I guess I'll give it to Coach K and Self. Okay, maybe top three is a little crazy, but like you can definitely start to talk top five if we repeat. Because like,
I mean, the resume is stupid.
Yeah,
Roy,
but
yeah,
like
Roy
Dean
has
Smith
three.
Or like
Roy had three at UNC.
Yeah, right? I just feel like Bill's consistency compared to Roy, like Roy had down years where Bill Self just hasn't. I don't know.
They missed the tournament.
Argument.
Bill hasn't missed the tournament. He hasn't been worse than a four. He's going to get another one this year, which we're going to end up talking bracketology. And according to one of my sources, Anthony Bex, Kansas has 14 quad one wins.
Let's just do it. Let's talk.
14. No.
Do you have any stats ready, AB? Or like, I mean,
most quad one wins ever.
I'm going to be fired up on Sunday if we win out. Or not, let's say we lose at Texas and then win the Big 12 tournament. If we don't get the freaking number one overall seed, like, what do we do, AB?
I'll freak out and riot because here's the sad part and the thing that we're going to be upset about come Selection Sunday, potentially. Houston is the team that scares me the most. I know it's annoying.
Midwest.
They don't play anyone. Congrats to them. Congrats to Houston. They beat a top 50 KenPom team yesterday for the first time since December 17th. So good for them, boys. Number one overall seed.
Let's give it up. Cougars. Let's give it up for them, boys.
The closest location to Houston is Kansas City, Missouri. Now, I think it's their choice. I think that's a rule they put in recently that they get to choose. So even though it's not a big difference for them, they might just do it. So
they get to choose
the second overall seed.
They
get to choose.
Okay.
I think they
just give a preference, right?
Yeah,
they would get it. Yeah. I think.
But like,
man, our resume's dumb.
Houston to Louisville's 14 hours. Houston to Kansas City's 11 and a half hours, or something like that. So they're pretty similar, and it's not going to make a huge difference. But they're just going to do it so the number two overall seed, Kansas, doesn't get to go play 30 minutes from campus, which is going to be annoying. But the fact that they have 14 quad one wins right now, and the other three number one seeds combined for 20, like. It just like come on, we might
dude,
get
Purdue second in the country with 9.
Yeah,
and we have 14.
We've doubled up Alabama 14-7.
Yeah,
we've got three it's and a half be... times the amount that Houston has. They've got 4. So like there's... the resume is going to be there. It's just the matter of how many more losses do you take. But if it's only one more, I don't know how it's not number one overall.
How many more games are we going to have against quad one teams? Because obviously you got Texas. You're going to play right
Texas
now.
For sure.
It would be. Big 12 tournament, we'd be the one, and we'd get, like, West Virginia or Tech.
West Virginia or Tech. So,
win that, you're going to have another.
Three of our next five games are likely going to be against Texas Tech, West Virginia, and then one of those two again. So,
I think Westfall is higher than that. I could be wrong on that, but I think Westfall would be who would want in terms of quad one. But I don't know the exact – is it top 40 at a neutral court? Or something like that. Like it extends a little bit when it's not at home. That's the problem with Tech and Westfall at home coming up is they both like, I don't know if those will be quad ones.
So like where are we, do you think? So let's say number one overall, let's assume Houston wins out because they will and they lock up number one overall. Do you think like, let's say we lose at Texas and then lose in the semis of the Big 12 tournament. Does Houston... Then I think Houston has to give their preferences prior to this anyway, so this is probably a pointless exercise. But does Houston at all say, well, wait a second, maybe we do go to Louisville so that we don't even risk having Kansas as a two seed in our bracket? Like, is that at all a thought for Houston?
Yeah, but like what's it gonna take to get us off the one line?
Basketball
on Sunday night, Parrish or Norlander said if they beat TCU, they could lose out and still be a one seed.
Dude,
now, I think that's crazy, but like, come on.
We're going to have Yeah, go ahead, B-Tune.
During this time of the year, do you not feel like AB's, we're like asking AB bracketology questions. Like, he's our bracketologist every week.
I feel like he just sits in his room and brackets look at his face everywhere, and he's just like,
he's dead serious.
Houston, Louisville, and just Adriana like, gets
pissed. She gets pissed at the decor in the apartment come March.
You need to do a YouTube feature with our guy.
Oh, super.
We should
have him all.
Super Celtic. Dead serious. Yeah. Dude, the guy is filling out bracket. He's building a new bracket and filling it out every day.
What hey, really? He's an all-time. Honestly,
good news about him, he picked KU to win the national championship in his last update. So let's go, boys.
I think that would mean KU would repeat, right?
It might. Okay. Run it back. Let's go.
Yeah,
if we win CJ. It all this year, I don't know what I'll do. Like, you have to deactivate me off.
Jeremy Clark.
Grady is a savage.
Grady has a Funky Town shirt on with a W drawn on it. Love to see that.
Can you imagine what our episode's going to look like if we end up repeating? Or even go? We talked about it last week, even going back to getting to Houston, going back to the Final Four again.
Can I talk about that when you're done with this?
I'm just saying, I'm going to be so annoying on social media. Going to have to deactivate me. Chiefs Super Bowl back-to-back natties. But I was going to, like, AB, go ahead with what you're going to say. But after that, I do want to talk about, like, what the scenario would be to even get us off the one. Because we were what? We're 12-4 in the league or 11-4. So we got two home games left against West Virginia and Tech. We could lose. I don't see how there's any way we lose those games. Not trying to jinx us, but we're probably going to win those two. It's Allen. Yeah. We find a way. We were down 17. We were down 10 to OU. 5 minutes left. And then we're at Texas. That'll be insanely tough. But I would assume maybe we lose one more regular season game. And then you go to the Big 12 tournament. You're going to get a bye no matter what. And then
I think if you lose one of these home games, maybe, and then lose to Texas and then lose – to Texas Tech or West Virginia again in the tournament, right, AB? Like, I feel like that is maybe the only
route. Yeah. Because then we're probably leveling out at 14 quad one wins, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We'd lose to Texas. We'd lose if, you know.
And Purdue and all these other teams are probably going to go get three more, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, who knows? Maybe, like, we're just too fixated on the quad one wins because on the bracket preview shitter on Saturday morning, they had us fourth overall. Now, a lot's changed since then. Like, we beat Baylor and TCU on the road. Like, that maybe changes things up. But still, it was – I thought there was a real chance that they could be, like, two or three going into Saturday.
I just think it would be absurd for KU to get into a situation where they have to win the Big 12 tournament to be the number one overall. Like, if we end up going 13 and – God, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. Like, I felt like we were going to go 11-7 or 12-6 in the league, and now we have a legitimate chance to go 14-4 or probably, I think, worst – I'm going to jinx one of these damn home games, but probably worst case 13-5 at home. But it feels like we might have to get into a situation where Big 12 tournament and KC, we're going to have to win that tournament, hardest league in the country, to maybe get a number one overall, and it just doesn't feel like it should be that way. Our resume just is way better than anyone else's in the country. And if we win out regular season, it feels like Joe Lunardi's going to get on and be like, if Kansas wins their first Big 12 tournament game, they're locked in as a one seed or number one overall seed or – like, even so, if we got to the championship or something, I don't know. I just doesn't feel like it feels crazy to think that we might have to get to a point where we have to win the Big 12 tournament against three really good teams to maybe be the number one overall when our resume is stupid against a league that's no league's close to the Big 12. Like, there's not a league that's close.
So maybe we need to look at it this way. Like, what happens if Houston, you know, they still got, do they have to go to Memphis still?
Yeah, and then I would assume they'll play him again in the American tournament.
So, like, what if Houston loses one more to a team? Like, maybe it's not even Memphis. Like, maybe they get upset by some Cincy pretty average something. Team. Then it's like, okay, I don't know how – in let's say in that same scenario, we lose at Texas and lose in the Big 12 championship game, but we still have 15 quad one wins at that point. Like, – I don't know. I feel like Houston is one bad loss away from, like, people starting to be like, okay, we were going to let you kind of just get this number one overall seed for the amount of total wins you had, but now you've lost, and two of their losses would be pretty bad, right? Then they lose I can't remember. I know that one of their losses is Bama, but the other ones, I feel like not.
It was was pretty bad. I'll look it up now, but it was pretty recent, wasn't it? Yeah, they lost to Temple at home. Temple's 117th in KenPom. So
like, if not that they'll have that a loss like that again, but even if they have a loss to a team like outside of the top 50 or top 75,
it's going to have to happen in the tournament. Yeah. But their schedule is brutally just like they play Tulane at home. They're going to be 17 point favorites at ECU, 18 point favorites at home against Wichita State. Then they go to Memphis where they're a 6 point favorite. But like, I don't think Memphis is special.
Yeah, and their best players hurt. So
what's is there a scenario where Texas can pass us still? They only have one more loss than us, right? Overall,
beat us twice, I would think probably.
Yeah,
like beat us more, like there and in the Big 12. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Texas still has to go to Baylor, don't they?
Yeah, dude. Texas and Baylor have some tough schedules, especially Baylor.
Texas has Iowa State at Baylor at TCU and then us. Like, if Texas goes only losing one more game, that I mean, they deserve a share at that point.
Can I touch back on what I was going to say a few minutes ago? When we were talking, Ryan, I think you sent it, like, even if we just get to the Final Four. And that just made me laugh how spoiled we've been lately with, like, because it almost came off as, like, I'll settle for a Final Four the year after a national championship and a month after the Super Bowl. Like, that'll be okay. And it was just, it made me laugh. But
I mean, my big thing with that is, like, it does feel like Bill Self doesn't need to prove anything ever again. No. But it does feel like every good elite top 10 coach has been to back-to-back Final Fours, and he just never has, and that kind of drives me nuts.
Yeah,
because he's had teams that should have done it. So I think that's mainly what I meant. But I would just, so it's out there, I would take a Final Four.
That wouldn't be bad.
I would sign up for that right now.
68 team tournament, and we'd be the Final Four left. That'd be not bad.
A casual 10-game winning streak in the NCAA tournament.
I just keep thinking about Bill, and obviously we know how the tournament works. You're going to have a bad night. You're going to have a bad shooting night. But I keep thinking, just what if Bill just coaches circles around people in March again? Like, the job he's done this year, I know we've had former players on before who talk about just certain years, how Bill just coaches differently, coaches his ass off. This feels like one of those years. We keep talking about how you give this guy chances. Obviously, last year he won it, but I can just see him coaching circles around. Like, who's even close to him right now? Who's number two? I gotta know what it is.
I had my thing on the live comments. So, like, Cole, our boy Cole Pete, he sent in a comment in the thing, and it was like, Houston has the better resume, and someone responded to him, how on earth does Houston have a better resume? And Cole just spewed out, the American's a better league. And I just can't stop giggling to myself because no one else can see it, but I just can't stop laughing.
Hey, shout to Pete. Shout out to me, who just now learned that we can view comments on the side. So
well, how do you do that?
Technology, hit comments, switch from private chat to comments. I don't – why were we seeing some of them, but then some of them were just –
I think Jordan can control, like, what comes on the screen and stuff. It's a little behind the scenes, ain't no seats, I see, that you guys are all getting to see.
I still can't figure it out, KU 82.
Adam B., KU is 82-19 on Mondays and 125-23 in the month of February. I believe that's good.
I don't know. He's
– Hey, Cole.
He's – Bill's easily – I don't know, dude. He's – there's no one – who would be the second best coach in the country right now? And whoever it is, are they even close or touching Bill right now? And he's one of the best ever, dude. I don't care. Like, his sets, his adjustments, the way – just his resume. He hasn't been worse than a four.
Who is it? Like, this is a good question.
I can't think of it.
You would have thought it's Calipari, but that guy stinks out loud.
Scott Drew? I know that's crazy, but shit.
They got a chance to win it all this year, too.
The guy that was up 13 at half and crying about officiating and then got curb stomped.
I think that's a better argument for why Bill Self's, like, by far and away the best coach in basketball right now, though. That
I could not, I didn't even see the interview because I was at the game, but, like, are we serious?
That's the funny thing about Scott Drew is we know KU gets calls at Allen.
I'm not mature enough for these comments over here, Kent Swanson.
I can't. Dude, how do I find the damn comments, Kent? What do I click on?
It's like in the same bar as all the
chat. Click comments next to private chat.
Are you in the full screen? Do you see the, like, messages?
Oh, there they are.
There it is.
We got Scott Drew, Tubby Smith. Great call. Bennett, that's AB's boy.
Hey, what Tommy about Mike
Lloyd?
Boynton?
We do like Mike Tommy Boynton's Lloyd from Arizona.
Dude, Nate Oates and Tommy comments. Lloyd need to like make a Final Four for me to call it them, but yeah, it's probably unfortunately it probably is Scott Drew because like Matt Painter's a good one.
He doesn't have the resume.
He hasn't been to a Final Four either.
I cannot, and we are off on a tangent here. I apologize, but what about them losing to a 15 seed with a top five pick on their team and Zach Edey last year is insane. Like Matt Painter has to make a Final Four this year, but
and they won't.
Yeah, we're not going to go on Purdue tangent here.
Do you think that they would fire him if he doesn't?
No, you kidding me,
sir?
No, I feel like he's
not really. I mean, like. Purdue. That, like he, I feel like they've been pretty consistently a top 10 team the past 5 years, and he just can't do it. He gets blown out by KU in the Sweet 16.
I was going
to
bring
loses
up
loses to St. Peter's.
Does,
he
though.
Chokes against Virginia, but that's my point. It's what Matt Painter does.
But Gene Katie's like a legend at Purdue, and he never made a Final Four. Like this is what Purdue basketball does.
Could they upgrade from Matt Painter?
No, that's my
and
other
who
point.
Would it
Who's
be?
Taking the Purdue?
Emprise
job?
Bank.
Love you.
You're banking with Emprise.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't. Cole just brought up AB's boyfriend, Tommy Izzo, who hasn't won a national title since 1946, I believe is the number. But he's the best coach in March, they say.
January, February, Izzo. People forget. Mm-hmm. But the guy can make Final Fours. I'll give him that.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
What are your guys' concerns right now with this KU squad? Because obviously I feel really good. They're finding ways to win, even with Jalen having tough nights. We worried that he would have to carry us pretty much every night, but God, you both keep laughing.
I'm sorry. I'm done looking at the comments now. Finish your thought.
Bro, I'm locked into the comments, but I think I lost my thought. What worries do you guys have? Obviously, there's going to be nights. There's always nights in the tournament, but I think this team especially will have a tough night shooting it. Obviously, McCuller's never been an elite scorer. DeJuan, Jay Will and Grady are elite scorers, but I think they've gotten to a point where they can lock down defensively and get stops late. Why is the
guys are crazy,
so
man.
Funny?
Just turn it back to private chat.
Josh Allen, February Izzo has me dying. I don't know why. Okay, sorry.
So yeah, I think they're going to get to a point where they're going to have a tough night scoring it. But I think they're going to be able to get stops. DeJuan, KJ, Kevin McCuller. I love our bench right now too. Joe didn't do much tonight, but Ernie comes in, plays hard, runs like his head's cut off, kind of like Dave last year before March. But Ernest comes in, finishes.
What was that?
I
got to hear.
Speaking of Dave, we have KJ Adams as Dave McCormick. He's just shooting mid-range jumpers now, like consistently, just pulling up for the free throw line. Yeah. I love it.
I don't want to cut you off, B-turn, but like this came to my mind, and I think this is the thing that I'm most concerned about. It's foul trouble, right? Yeah. Like I was terrified in the first half when Grady and Jalen picked up two fouls. And imagine March, we're down 20-14 to a 9 seed, and Jalen picks up his second foul on a annoying charge call. Like that's going to be a pretty horrifying moment.
Do you guys feel like Bill Self has changed over time with what he does when guys pick up two fouls? Or do you think it's just a personnel thing where we can't score this year? We don't have too many scores outside of those two. It just feels like in the past, Bill would sit guys with two the rest of the half, Remember, God, we don't have to bring this game up, but Josh Jackson in a certain tournament game.
No.
I didn't say it. We're getting revenge this year in Kansas City. Stop.
Yeah.
Why don't we get revenge in Louisville? That's what's going
to happen. Can we confirm
Bill has
Ernie
definitely
hasn't missed
Bill
a shot in Big 12 post?
With that, right? Like, Bill used to, it was an auto, you're sitting until halftime type move, right? Like, even he, I've always been very against that because I'm like, okay, whatever a guy's foul rate is, blah, 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 analytic stuff. Like, just, I feel like there should be a guy on the bench that's telling Bill, like, hey, you know, he can probably go play these final 6 minutes. But even tonight, I was like, okay, Bill, Jalen and Grady still sitting out there. We have a 4-point lead with 2 minutes and a half. Like, can we maybe get them out? And Bill seems just comfortable and he trusts those dudes. So that's good. But I still stand by it. In the tournament, I will be an absolute disaster if Jalen and Grady pick up two in a second round nail biter or even Sweet 16.
Holy shit. Offensive lineup was just brutal, dude, to watch.
The 3-point guard lineup.
I think I texted you guys, like, you better hope you hold TCU to about 30 points because it could get out of hand if you don't. And sure enough, they did.
Some big McDonald's All-American named Ernie Uday is 13 for 13 from the floor in Big 12 play. Hasn't missed a shot.
He had a tough one over Lampkin tonight, too.
He's shooting a lot of threes and stuff, so.
Dude, that
there are a lot of
transition,
low percentage shots.
That pass and transition from McCollar to Ernie on the break was so absurd, 14. And somehow
Thanks
he made
Eli.
It.
I can't count.
I mean, Ernest, he's come out of nowhere. Like, he was unplayable, it seemed. Bill Self didn't trust him at all. And now it's like, I love when he's on the floor. Deflects so many balls, is just so much energy, catches lobs. I don't know. I'm very excited for Ernest.
I am too.
He's
and
he's going to be insane.
I think we said this a week or two ago. But I do feel bad for Zuby, but it probably was the best thing for Ernest. Zuby getting hurt, which we obviously don't want anyone to get hurt. I kind of feel for Zuby, but Ernest took those minutes and ran with him. He's been so good for us. Like, we laugh watching him. He does some funny things, but he never hurts us because his effort, he plays hard, gives us extra possessions. How about Bill, we tried at half? The we tried comment. Well, we tried.
We tried. I mean, it was a very good, like, kind of way to describe that first half. Like, both teams just looked horrible. I feel like our first three shots were halfway down and came out. Like, the rims were just absurd. I felt very good to be up at half. And he turns making demands now in the comment. He discovers
I
the
love
comments
the comments.
He's like, pin it now. Pin
Who's
that
Chris
one.
Spatola?
He's like a producer sitting here.
Chris Spatola was the announcer for the Okie State game that wouldn't shut up about reviews.
Oh my God. And remember the
day. I would do it. I would just turn on Haney on radio.
Not to get sexist here, but remember the girl that was calling our football games?
No.
On ESPN Plus? You don't remember the West Virginia game?
Not even a little bit.
If
I think
we're
going to
talk about ESPN
one.
Plus announcers, we're going to talk
when
about
when the scoreboard is halfway through the middle of the screen.
We're talking Lance Blanks. He's an all-time legend from ESPN Plus. But
can I attempt to maybe dampen the mood a little bit? Can we talk some MJ Rice?
He scored tonight. I'll take it.
He missed the layup.
Wide open layup.
On positive vibes only tonight.
Bill with the quickest yank of all time. Just points. Go.
It's like the fourth time he's done that to him this year, too. Where it's like, MJ, come in. Give us like 3 minutes, please.
See,
makes one mistake. Gone.
Everyone in the comments remembers the girl, and you idiots who claim you're diehards don't.
I think we're trying to divert the conversation to something.
I didn't
want to
get into that.
I personally don't think MJ transfers. I think obviously you lose Jay Will, Kevin McCollar. Who else am I missing? Grady.
Are we sure McCollar's gone? Can't he come back next year? Like, I feel like the assumption is he's gone, but I know that's the plan, but like, are you sure Kevin McCollar doesn't sit down with Self and be like, wait, can I come back? No, this is a terrifying thought, but it's like, can I come back and be the guy to score and be the go-to guy?
I think our fans have been a little too hard on him too. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
Oh, for sure.
I just think we knew what we were getting with McCollar. The hardest.
Yeah. Okay.
I think our fans have been tough on him. Like, we knew what we were getting in him. Lockdown defender. Bill was going to be obsessed with him no matter what. He obviously takes questionable shots. But let's just assume McCullough's gone. I want to answer the MJ Rice question. I just think we have a lot of wings that are good. I've seen McCullough in mock drafts. That was like a month or so ago. I haven't looked at mocks recently, but obviously you're losing Jay Will and Grady. MJ, just there's not a ton of minutes for him. Obviously, you come in the bench, you come off the bench for a couple minutes, give those guys a rest on the bench. But I think MJ is going to be really good. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think he's going to be awesome. There's going to be a ton of minutes opened up next year, and we're going to need guys to score it next year. I don't know.
It's a classic. What? Like, if MJ just waits his turn, if MJ waits his turn and just learns from Bill, he will be a stud. But I don't know. I can see him being a guy that kind of like Quentin Grimes that just needs a change of scenery. Okay, but I want to talk
about why
sometimes it's just not a fit. You know, like,
I just feel like he comes off the bench cold. It's not like he gets right, but opportunities to showcase. Quentin Grimes started from day one, was getting Deron Williams comparisons from Bill Self. Yeah. And yeah, it just wasn't a good fit. Our fans literally bullied him off of social media.
It was a tough scene.
And then he goes to the Final Four, but I think MJ is going to be awesome next year. I don't know why not. I think he plays pretty hard. He's obviously super athletic. I think he's going to be great next year and one of our better scorers.
I hope so. I hope you're right. Okay, I want to talk because we got to talk about it since this is kind of like our episode this week. The Kansas Jayhawks were down 17 points to Baylor at home. And here's what I love about Allen Fieldhouse and just KU Twitter as a whole. Like, we melt down with the best of them, but also you hop on Twitter, you hop in your group chats, and everyone's like, KU money line. I'm hammering KU plus 400. I'm hammering KU plus 390. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that we can be down 13 points at half and just be like, yep, money line, Allen Fieldhouse. Like, I don't know how to describe it. And I don't know how to, it's just, I don't get how we keep doing it. How do teams just constantly fold? And now Baylor had to regress at some point. Like the first half they played were insane, but I still can't get over how absurd that basketball game is. So I wanted to make sure we talked about it because it's like, it's not one of my, it's not like a top five game ever at Allen Fieldhouse, but it is one of the like weirder games I've ever been to at Allen Fieldhouse where it's just like,
Go ahead. I was gonna ask if it was like the loudest it's ever been for you. I know there have been some crazy loud moments, but when Grady hit that three and KJ had that dunk to go up one and like two or one and three, it felt like it was very, very loud through the like TV. So yes, I assume it was crazy there.
It was nuts, and I was like, obviously we've had loud moments, so it's hard to compare those, but it was, I felt like the most plays in a row where you got that level of loud over and over again. Like, yeah, the Grady three, the KJ dunk, even like the Jalen layup early to start the run, like the crowd was just exploding on every freaking play, and it was like that for almost the entire half. So I don't know, it was such a weird game. I could not believe how quickly did we get up double digits, not just up but like we were up double digits. I remember looking up at the scoreboard and being like, are we really up 12? Like, that was just brutal for Scott Drew to cry about refs in the post game or in the halftime interview and then be down double digits.
Well, he comes to Allen with that mentality. And yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, is we do get calls. Obviously we've gotten bailed out late in games. But Scott Drew comes to Lawrence with that mindset. And it's kind of funny because, not trying to hate on the guy, but Jerome Tang kind of did the same thing. And he was on that staff for however long he was there. But yeah, I've been wanting to ask you and obviously people in the comments too that were at Allen, just how that atmosphere was, just because from watching on TV, hearing it on the radio, it sounded electric. And then was going to talk to you guys too about Haney in the second half. I was listening to it on the radio, kept talking about how it felt. The run felt like the national title game where you just come out of the second half and the deficit is just gone quickly. So I didn't get to watch the start of the second half, but I wanted to hear how the atmosphere was and if it kind of compared to the Natty game.
Go ahead, AB.
Well, I was going to say there was that stretch that we talked about earlier where DeJuan hit a three and then DeJuan got a steal late in the shot clock and then Grady hit a three in transition. It reminded me a lot of that stretch in the title game where it was Remy three in the corner, DeJuan steal, and then it was a Jalen and one, but it was 3 points the other way. And it very much felt the same. And it was kind of like – obviously in the title game, DeJuan stole it like at half court when they're bringing the ball up. And this time it was like 3 seconds left in the shot clock, but it was still kind of like behind, and his long ass arms, Elastawoman was just reaching out to grab the ball and start the break. But that's all I could think of while watching that sequence.
It is crazy how we've not only mastered the ability to make big comebacks, but we've mastered the ability to just take a 15-point lead. And not only like we make the joke, like think about in the Natty, we were like, get it to the under eight by the under eight. And then I was tweeting that, like, get it to the under eight by the under eight. We don't even need to be saying that. We can start saying, like, have the lead by the under 16, because this team has somehow figured out not only just how to come back against teams, but to absolutely just crush them for 10 minutes straight and completely take over the game. Scott Drew claps when the plane lands. Scott Drew is a squid. Scott Drew is sitting down.
Scott Drew
somehow ended up in the KU locker room after today's game looking for Svee. But we have to talk about
Scott Drew has won one game at Allen Fieldhouse, and it was because Doc got hurt.
Can we talk about when Scott Drew came in and congratulated our guys, and Svee turned to Devontae and said, "Who's that?" I mean, one of my favorite KU stories of all time.
We got to get Svee on.
Oh my god! And just simply talk about Scott Drew with Svee. That's
I also wanted to talk about just how you guys felt when they went up 40-23. It just Flagler, Cryer, Keontae George. It just felt like they were playing at a different speed. All their guards scored all their points. I am Mr. Meltdown. I feel like you guys stay more poised and believe in us. I don't know why I give up on Allen Fieldhouse, because we've literally seen everything in that building. West Virginia, we're down 35 with 2 minutes left. Devontae starts going in between the legs, back, hitting threes. Yeah. Frank's hitting threes. They're throwing the ball into the crowd. Steals, layup. Oklahoma, we're down 10 with 5 minutes left. They're down 17 against a national, like Baylor is absolutely a national title contender, one of the better coaches in the country. I think we obviously love making fun of Scott Drew. He's still one of the better coaches in the country, national title contender. And you're down 17. You end up winning that game comfortably. You're up double digits with like 10 minutes left. And it's the greatest building in sports.
It is. It's crazy. I don't know how I don't get how teams constantly let it happen. Like, I always sit there and I'm like, okay, they're probably talking about how, okay, don't let it happen. Don't let the crowd get in your head. It just doesn't matter. Everybody rolls over for the most part. I mean, think about the fact that we played seven conference home games so far. And one of them, we trailed by 15 and a half to Oklahoma State, right? Won it. Mm-hmm. We trailed by 10 with 5 minutes left to Oklahoma. Won it. Trailed by 17 in the first half, 13 at half to Baylor. Won it by double digits. That's 3 out of 7 home games we've played in conference play. And that's like, those three games right there are games that other fan bases would like talk about for years to come as like some of the best games in their building's history. And we did it 3 times in the first 7 conference home games. Like, it's nuts. But I would like us not to keep doing that. I do not enjoy being down 17 points.
That's a scare, is that they get too comfortable being down, and then they get into a hole they can't get out of. To answer your question, Braden, never 1 second did I think KU was losing that game. I think I was texting the whole time. Like, it just – as good as we played in the second half, Baylor was hitting some just stupid, stupid, stupid shots. And on fire. And like, at the end of the day, college kids are not going to stay that hot. And if they get cold even for a second, Fieldhouse is just going to jump on them. And then it's just ball game in my mind.
That's why
I will say, go ahead.
I just, when we talked about this team guarding earlier, I just feel like when this team's locked in and they want to guard, they're so good. And Baylor, not only could they not score in the second half, they couldn't even get good looks. And they were that good defensively. And it carried over to tonight. TCU, 30% from the field, coming off a 100-point performance against a top 10 KenPom team defensively, Oklahoma State.
Crazy, which Oklahoma State falling apart, but whatever.
Yeah, we broke them. We broke them in half.
Yeah, we did. All right. What should we – do we want to let the comments fire off some questions? I mean, I'm so distracted by the comments.
I love it. I'm locked in right now. I haven't missed one. Right when they pop up, I'm reading.
Yeah.
Come on.
So anyone got a comment, a question, anything, what would this KU team beat 5 seed Iowa? I love that. People forget Mark Titus.
Every college basketball analyst in the world had Iowa to the Elite Eight.
Shout Keegan out. Murray. Keegan Murray was going to just give us 50 last year in the tournament.
Can we talk about real quick Big Cat calling TCU -1.5 game of the month? And
yes,
I don't know how much he puts.
We have to get him on.
I don't know how much he puts on his games of the month, but that man lost a lot of money tonight.
Guy hates Bill Self. Guy loves betting against KU. Guy hates KU. Bill Self, he talks shit on Bill Self all the time. Oh, he does. I love Big Cat.
Guy like, in Wisconsin versus Illinois, like there's a little rivalry there, and it's a lot of toupee talk. So,
And
we beat him on. We beat Wisconsin on a buzzer beater.
One team that comes to mind right away, that came to my mind right away, would be Arizona. A lot of length. They play fast. Their guards are electric. They got Ballo, Tubelis. I think their length would be an issue. I'm trying to think of someone else. Just a team. Tennessee, again, would be scary, but they're really not that good. I don't think they can score. My answer might be Arizona.
So I like this question, though. Second round matchup. Like, that's obviously all the good teams. Like, Arizona, like you said, a B-turn. The teams that have big dudes and athleticism, they're going to be scary. But, like, I want the second round matchups. Like, AB, you're a bracketology guy. You're studying these 24/7. Who are some 8-9s that are just going to be absolutely terrible?
I'm looking now. Our boy Lenardi hasn't updated since Saturday morning.
Wake up, Joe. I know. Do your job.
Literally.
But on the 8-9 line, he's NC State, Oklahoma State, Auburn, Pittsburgh, Rutgers, Texas A&M, Mizzou, and Duke. You just know ratings-wise, they're going to be like, oh, KU versus Duke in the second round. I'd take that in 1 second, which is a little scary because they're loaded with talent.
Yeah, they got talent, yeah.
But,
yeah, I mean, so far.
John Shire's second tournament game ever. Yeah. What's Creighton at now? Have they climbed up above like the 8-9 range?
Probably. Oh, they're five.
Okay. Well, you know, when I look at bracketology, it's really just what KU is and like how it affects them. I'm not really diving through the 12 seeds.
You know who a team that's sneaky scary also? Their 10 seed is Arkansas. Like, I know they've been bad, but like athletes,
well coached.
Team that's made one big games in the tournament. That's really all I'm basing that off of. But still, like, you feel like that's a game they're going to show up and just play pretty well in.
Yeah, Duke would be scary. Obviously, someone mentioned Pitt, like Henson, Burton, former Dukie, Jeff Capel coaching them. So yeah, I think that would be a weird matchup for us. That would be tough. NC State, that's low key a really, really good win for us. I love watching them play. It's Quavion Smith, DJ Burns, who's the other, Jarkel Joyner. They got some really good scorers who just get hot. They just beat Ryan's UNC Tar Heels at home
love
this weekend.
Future on them to win the national title. I'm such a good gambler. I will say this. What happens if UNC, they go on a decent run down the stretch here. They get in. They get a 9 seed. AB, you mentioned ratings. They've done it many times. What happens if we see UNC in the second round? They're a 9 seed. National title. We're going for a repeat. They're going for the Cinderella story again. Like, does that scare you guys? Or do they just – I mean, they stink.
I think they stink. But that's a terrifying thought because you know it's more than just like, you know, the matchup that game. Right before you said that, I was thinking, what if like Kentucky won a couple more games and it was Kentucky and either Duke or UNC in an 8-9 matchup to get to the 1 seed Kansas, which would just be an outrageous atmosphere in Des Moines. I tell you what.
Lenardi currently has Kentucky, North Carolina in a play-in game. That would be electric. That would be electric.
Hell yeah.
I want to ask one more question. It's probably stupid. AB's probably going to lose it. But are we making too big of a deal about Kansas City? Obviously, we want it. But our fans are going to travel anywhere. Our fans are obviously the best. They're going to travel. We've lost in KC, obviously. But if we don't get the one in the Midwest, and say we're locked in as a one, we don't end up getting the Midwest, are we going to melt down at all? AB, or how are we going to feel? Not because you're a one, but are you going to be pissed?
I wouldn't melt down because it wouldn't matter unless you make the second weekend. And the second weekend, if we would have asked ourselves 5 months ago, I think we would have been like, okay, yeah, we just won a championship. Now we're in the second weekend. That's pretty cool. Now expectations change. I think if it's Louisville that we get in, I don't think that's bad because that's very drivable for a lot of fans. But like New York or Vegas.
You can't go to Louisville.
Is that Villanova 2016?
Yeah, Perry Ellis, five shots.
We can blame me.
But like New York or Vegas feels like a tough. I don't know how many fans are like flying out to these games. I mean, I don't know.
Gonzaga cannot.
I don't. Defense. If we have 16, 17 quad one wins and end up in freaking New York or Las Vegas in the Elite Eight, I will call the police.
Did you ever get to the FBI on the rims tonight?
No, but
someone said
launching an internal investigation.
Someone just commented being a one in the West and getting Zona as the two in the West, kind of like UCLA in 07.
I wouldn't watch. I wouldn't watch.
So camera. I've been dabbling over here in the comments section. I see some rumblings that DeJuan took the game ball. And it was because Eddie Lampkin took ours.
What up?
I love it. I mean, this team's going very petty between the shirts, writing W on it. Like, boys, falling in love with this team. I was already in love with them, but I'm even deeplier and more in love than I was. What are you pointing at,
B2? 6-0 when someone wears our hoodie.
Wow. Brandon Winfro, shout out. Shout out to the guy in front row at game day with the hoodie on. I don't know who it was, but
I paid him $500 to do it.
I hope you did not do that.
What are the
odds? Not seeing the return on investment on that one quite
yet. Ryan, remember your crazy gambling stretch where you lost like, I don't even know how many.
I think it was 27 in a row.
I went 0-5. I hate admitting this. I went 0-5 last night, 0-4 tonight. And I went 0-5 in the NBA All-Star game last night.
Yeah, I was going to ask what five sporting events were on last night that you could go 0-5 in.
That's called being a degenerate.
Do you have like player props in the All-Star game? What are we doing?
LeBron over 6 assists. He had 4 in the first quarter. Hurt his finger.
I bet on Jericho Sims to win the dunk contest. I was on Mass Street. I'd had three drinks, and somebody was like, "Do you have?" My friend Johnny was like, "If you bet on the dunk contest, you got to get your bet in." And I was like, "Everyone's going to take McClung, so I'm going to take Jericho Sims." The guy just kept sticking his elbow on the rim over and over again, and I bet on it.
Dude, the dunk contest is on.
It starts at 8:45. You better fucking.
We didn't even watch it. Why did I put money on that? It's crazy.
Is that J. Cole that said that?
Yeah.
I don't think you guys answered my – I know we're close to an hour here, but I don't think you guys answered my what worries you about this KU team.
I said foul trouble.
Okay.
Anthony. I agree.
AD, you got to give yours.
Foul trouble, but foul trouble, and this may be a little cutting against the grain here, but McCuller and DeJuan.
You could say foul trouble with every team.
Right, but you can survive – I think if you can just lock down on defense and take 6 minutes off in the first half and then get everyone back going in the second half. Bill Self said at halftime, yeah, they were in foul trouble earlier, but they're not anymore. So, like, you know, if we have to turn it into a sloppy defensive game for 8 minutes, that's fine with me. I know it's annoying. It depends probably where in the tournament, but a second round game, I think we can survive with Grady or Jalen on the bench.
One of the best scorers in the country has had two really, really bad nights against ranked teams, two of the better teams in the league, and they found ways to win. So I think just Bill, obviously being the best coach in the country, making adjustments, drawing up just absolute winning plays. Like he's the best, and there's no one close. So they just find ways. And someone said biggest concern is Juan reverting back to old self on offense. We don't need him really. I like him being aggressive, obviously. Bill wants him to do that, but do we really need him to be elite as a scorer?
We need him to get four.
We need him to get four. I think there's an even more absurd stat out there that, like, we've never lost ever in his career when he gets 10. So wouldn't hate that if he could find a way to go get 10. But, yeah, I mean, it's a slippery slope of, like, yeah, you don't want DeJuan shot hunting and being just launching from three over and over again. But, like, Bill says it, I think, in every post game. Like, he wants Juan shooting more. And so it is a little scary that, like, that's just not DeJuan's personality. It's not his style of play. So if he does kind of revert back to that.
Man, he had some dimes tonight.
He's good. He's so good. I saw one comment that we flashed up on the screen. It went away from Jamie. He said, any concern for Jay Will's three-point shooting? He's only made one in the last three games.
Jesus.
I felt like he was kind of due to have a rough stretch because he got pretty insane there in January, right? Like, that's kind of what I'm chalking it up to.
He carried us for a month and a half at least, and, you know, he probably just worn out. But could we
– still at 35 for the year. That's pretty solid. Especially he's shooting over six threes a game. But, yeah, he's been – I think – I'm sorry, but
– You're good.
I think just this slump lately where other guys are figuring it out has kind of almost been a blessing. Just give this team some confidence, know they can win without one of the best players in the country going off.
Yeah. What were you going to say, AB? Because I was going to read some of these other comments, but
– I can't even remember really.
Cole asked real quick. He said, if we lose in Austin to tie the league with Texas, how do you guys feel? Winning the league, I don't care if it's a share this year.
Oh, I got it. Do you guys think, and that made me think of it, say we are 13-4 and Texas is 12-5 going into that game. Is there any shot Bill rests some dudes? He's done it before, but I wouldn't be outright. Like, is there any chance that Bill would just be like, Jalen, get off your feet for, you know, maybe you play 20 minutes instead of 38 tonight?
Bill Self lives life to win Big 12 championships, and I think he loves it's winning upsetting. Them outright. I do not think he would. When did he rest people? I guess I don't really remember that.
I guess it maybe only happened once. He definitely did in 2016. 2016 weird, with Perry and Devontae and
because we had a
Wayne
bunch
Selden.
Of hurt guys too, and so it was just kind of like, yeah, whatever. And we still almost won.
Did he not? Josh's year, or am I just thinking of when Josh was suspended for the first game?
Well,
of the Big
Josh
12?
Got suspended in the Big 12 tournament and we lost. But no, I don't think we rested. Yeah,
dude, the Big 12's insane.
Is this accurate? We're up to 9 on defense in KenPom.
Yeah,
sorry.
I'm just kind of looking at the Big 12 standings and what it's going to take for us to not at least share it. Obviously, we're going to share it. Probably, I think we're going to win it outright. But just looking at Baylor's schedule or Texas's schedule, they got 4 left, all against ranked teams. They got Texas. So Texas, it's basically a two team race because Baylor's 1 game behind us, 1.5 until they play. But Texas, Baylor play each other. We're not going to lose at home, knock on wood, but so it's basically a two-team race, and it could come down to – I could see us being, up a game going into Austin, and they got to win to share it. We've said all year that the game's going to have a ton of implications.
Texas – I mean, I could see Texas losing at Baylor and at TCU. Like, they haven't exactly – they just beat OU at home in overtime. Like, Texas isn't exactly rolling right now, so
– That was frustrating. Did you guys see the last play of that game?
No.
OU.
I was reloading.
Yeah, he had a putback.
The OU dude had a wide-open layup at the end of overtime that would have tied it, and he just straight-up missed it.
That literally looked like you at the rec.
Yeah. It was impressive. And I don't know. Whatever. I mean, when does Texas play tomorrow?
Baylor plays at K-State tomorrow, which
– Yeah.
Where are you leaning on that? I saw – Baylor's 1-point favorites, I think.
Oh my!
They're up to 2, and Texas is a 7.5-point favorite against Iowa State. That's crazy.
Iowa State's weird. They're so bad sometimes.
Boys, I'm not going to lie. I'm sleepy. It's 11:30 at night.
This is a blast.
Got an early morning.
Call it. This was great. Having the comments here while we are not mature enough
big
to
fan,
handle
big
it
fan.
And stay on task. So for those of you that didn't watch this live and have to listen to this later, we apologize because we're just sitting here reading comments with no structure, but we'll get better because we'll do this again because I had a blast doing this. Shout out to everyone that hopped on and listened. But that's it. Big win, boys. What a stretch. We win at OU, at Oklahoma State, Baylor at home, and then we win at TCU. Wow. This has been it's Bill Self doing what Bill Self does. And
let's repeat.
Another big one on Saturday. So let's do it.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.